Let me put two examples. You will love this one. At least, I think you will love the second one. The first one is this one, a peacock. You know? When you see a peacock and you see him or it like showing, displaying all its beauty, you see, oh, there it is, the peacock in all its glory. And you can see it. You can see all its beauty, all its glory, all its magnificence. That's the first one. The second one is, you remember the coronation of King Charles? You saw all the pomp, all the glory, all the things that were going on, and you realize, wow, that is a big deal. And we saw it from the other side of the world, from Argentina, and we saw it through TV, through YouTube, it was broadcasted. So everyone around the world saw the glory of a king being enthroned. You saw the beauty, you saw the majesty, you saw the greatness. That is glory, actually. Looking at the beauty, looking at the majesty, looking at the greatness of a peacock, of an earthly king. But what about the glory of God? How does it look like? And that is my question for you today. How does the glory of God look like? And that's what our passage is about. So as we've been preaching on this whole section, Jesus is finishing his discourse, his last words to his disciples, his last words to his best friends. So he took them to a very private room, and he talked with them. And he told them, this is how you are going to live the life when I am gone. And he told them that they will have peace, but they will be persecuted. But they will have joy at the same time. But also they will have a relationship, not only with him, with Jesus, but with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. They will have a relationship with the whole Trinity. He's teaching them that. Isn't that amazing? And at the same time, as some authors said, Jesus is finishing the greatest sermon preached on earth, and now he's starting the greatest prayer prayed on earth. And that is chapter 17. Jesus will pray about this word we just say, glory. And that looks like this. Two things I want you to hold in mind this morning. Number one, Jesus prays for the glory of God and for his own glory at the cross. Look down with me, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. We just said, what is the meaning of glory? Displaying beauty, displaying greatness, displaying majesty. And Jesus is praying for that. Glorify your Son. Actually, John is thinking on an Old Testament image where Moses asked God the same thing. Show me your glory. And Moses couldn't see God. He just saw his back. But what he heard about God was that he is great in mercy, that he has a steadfast love, and he is slow to anger. So he didn't see much, but he heard about his character. And that is God's beauty, his character. And that is what we're going to see here. But it's not that. So God's glory is not just a displaying of who God is, what is his character, but it's one more thing. And this is amazing. Verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Look at the text. It's saying, Father, glorify me, show the glory in your presence, and show the same glory we had together before the war began. So this is not just a glory that displays character, that tells us God is love, God is holy, God is justice. This is a glory of the relationship that Jesus have with the Father in the whole eternity. So and where is that display? Where can we see that? His character and this relationship. Where can we see that? Well, the verse says, first verse 1 again, Father, the hour has come. What is that hour about? Well, it's the final hour. If you've been following the Gospel of John, you will remember he says this phrase all the time. The hour has come, or the hour is about to come, or the hour has not come yet. But now he's saying the hour has come. The hour for what? The hour for the cross. The hour where Jesus was going to die for his people. So we have glory, beauty, displays, magnificent, and we have the hour. Where is the hour going to be? The final hour, the final price? It's going to be at the cross. It's going to be the place where Jesus is going to die, and he says, I'm going to go back to the Father. It's basically thinking in this way. The final hour is the most glorious moment for Christ. I'm sure you can think, what is your most glorious moment? What is your highlight in life? For me, it was, I played a lot of tennis when I was a kid, and it was when I was second in a really good tournament, because it was the biggest cup I got. It was second, it wasn't first, the first was really good, but I got the second, I'm happy with that. I'm okay with that one. That was my highlight. That was my hour. Jesus' hour is the cross. Glory, the hour, and the cross is his high point. But that is the place where God displays, what did we say about glory? His beauty, and also the relationship that he had with the Father, and also the Holy Spirit. And that is the final moment. Because if you think, what can we see in the cross? We see God's character, that he loved his people, and that's why he went to die for them. We see God's character because he's just. He paid the price of sin, but on his son, instead of us. We see his justice, his holiness. He doesn't take sin as a slow thing, as a not weighty thing. But also we can see that this plan was made in eternity. Verse 5 again, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the war began. So before the war began, they were thinking, oh, this is what we're going to do. Theologians call this the eternal covenant of redemption. It's like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit saying, we are going to do a plan to save whole humanity. And the Father is going to do it, to think it. The Son is going to make it. And the Holy Spirit is going to apply it. That's how they explain it. And that's it. They are thinking on that. So on the cross, we see that the whole Trinity is working. It's not just the Son. The Son is dying there, but the Father is paying sin on him on the cross. Isaiah 53 says that he paid all sins in him on that cross. And hold this in mind. That is the beauty of the cross. Hold that in mind. We'll come back to that. That is the beauty of the cross. Jesus dying there. A theologian says this: those who have found God in the cross of Jesus Christ know how wonderfully God hides himself in this world. You can find God in the cross of Christ, and you can see how he hides his glory on that place. But if we think on this prayer more, less in the Christian way that we are used to, because we think, who is praying here? Jesus. But Jesus is praying, Father, glorify me. Glorify your Son. That is not a very common prayer. We don't pray and say, Father, glorify me. It's only Jesus' prayer. And you cannot find a prayer like this in the Bible. But the question is then, is this just a vain prayer? The answer is obviously no, because Jesus prays, that's number one, that he will be glorified at the cross, because, and this is the second thing I want you to hold in mind this morning, because of his Father's glory and our good. And those are verses 2 to 4. Read again with me the last bit of verse 1. Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son. And this is the purpose, that your Son may glorify you. So Jesus is not just praying, saying, oh, glorify me, and that's it. Now he's saying, glorify me so that the Father will be glorified. For Jesus' priority is this, and it's been through the whole gospel, that his Father's name will be known to all people. You will see that in the whole prayer of chapter 17, that they will know my name. That's the phrase that is repeated in chapter 17. Keep it. You will see it once and once again. And this is great. This is, again, it's the Old Testament coming back to the mind of John by saying, let all the earth be filled with his glory. That was the purpose in the Old Testament, that the whole earth will be filled by the glory of God. And Jesus is praying that my glory will be shown, but that the glory of God will be shown to all people in this earth. As we said, the whole Trinity is planning here how to do that. And it happens. This is possible only through the cross. That's one thing. And the other one is for our good. Jesus prays that he will be glorified for his Father's glory, but also for our good. Look down with me at verse 2. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. So, how is the Son going to be glorified? How is the Father going to be glorified? Well, because God has given authority to the Son to give eternal life to those given to him. You can see two great things there. That the cross gives us eternal life. But that this is not something that happened. This is something that God planned. He says, at the end of verse 2, he will give eternal life to all those you have given him. Isn't that amazing? God is not improvising. He is He has in mind his people. And he is telling Jesus, I gave you authority to give them life. What is God's glory? It's a display of his character, and this is his character that he wants, he desires to give eternal life to us. And this is eternal life, verse 3. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. When we say we have eternal life, we normally think, oh, I'm going to heaven. And that's true. But when we say we have eternal life, we believe in Jesus, we are saying this. We have a relationship with God and with Jesus. But not there in heaven. Now. Right now. And when you think in that, think again. What is the glory of God? How does it look like? It looks like a God who desires to give life and to have a relationship with those who he has given that life. And verse 4 says it again. I have brought you glory on earth. That's what Jesus is saying. I've given you glory by finishing the work you gave me to do. We said that work was the work that was done on the hour, the cross. The work is the work of salvation at the cross, and it was made in that hour. So this is my question for you, brothers and sisters. When you see the cross, what do you see? Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, stand up and told Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. He was asking Jesus, I want to see the Father. And I'm asking you today, when you see the cross, what do you see in there? Think that for a moment. When you see the cross, what do you see in there? You might see just a man who died there, or maybe a symbol, just a sign, a religious symbol. Or you maybe don't see anything. You've forgotten. It's just the cross. We all know the cross. When you see the cross, you have to remember this. There, it's not just a man dying. It's the Son of God dying. It's not just people killing a man. It's God the Trinity having a plan to save humanity. It's not just a symbol. It's the glory of God being displayed. It's the beauty of the Creator of the universe being displayed toward us, because he's telling us, I am a God of love. I am a God of justice. I'm a God, a holy God, who is able to save humanity only because I sent my Son to make a payment for them. And when you see that in the cross, you can see salvation, you can see life, you can see joy, you can see eternal life, and you can see an eternal relationship with God. Isn't that amazing? As I was thinking and applying this text, you know, we normally think, we come to church and we think, okay, well, what should I do? just tell me what I have to do after this, and that's it. Tell me what I have to do, and that's the thing. We have like our inner religious guy telling us, well, what should I do after this? And if I do it, I'm living the world. And sometimes it's a bit more deep than that. It's not just things we have to do. And let me ask it in this way. When you see the glory of a peacock, what do? You maybe take a photo. You maybe try to smack the other guy next to you and tell him, look at that, look at that. Or maybe if you're with your kids, you try to tell them, wow, look at that. I'm like, wow, you really exaggerated. Like, to try to show them that this is good. How do you react when you see a peacock? You maybe get amazed by its beauty. Second question, how did you react when King Charles was enthroned? Were you one of those guys we saw on TV, on the streets, with the faces of King Charles or with the flags of the United Kingdom? Were you really excited? Or maybe weren't you? Maybe you were with hope that this king would be a good king, that the king would know God. How did people react to it? Well, they chew him up. They ran after him, trying to get a photo, trying to see what was going on. And now this is an important question. How do you react when you see Jesus pray in this prayer about his final hour when God is going to be glorified and he is going to be glorified? How do you react before the glory of God? Let me say it in this way. I think you could read this prayer and say, yeah, I can pray this prayer in a way. You are not Jesus. You are not going to pray, oh, Father, glorify me. But you can pray the heart of this prayer, that God may be glorified. Or you can have the same vision of Jesus, saying, this is my priority, that God may be glorified. And those two things are really good, but I don't think that's the purpose of this prayer here, mainly. I think it's this. When his disciples were with him, he let them hear this. Because they weren't encouraged enough. And they didn't understand what the cross was going to accomplish. And maybe he didn't understand the deep things that were going on behind the curtains of him dying. When we see the glory of a peacock, we want to react. When we see the glory of a king on this earth, we want to react. And when we see the glory of the king of the universe, we want to worship. We want to praise him. We want to say thank you. So this is the thing. Set your heart in God's glory. This is the fountain of your whole life. And from there, your life will change. From there, you will be more encouraged to keep following him. Set your heart on fire with this view of Jesus dying and the Father. And as we do, when we see something amazing, we try to tell the other person, hey, look at this. That's the other thing. See the glory of God. Set your heart on fire. Worship him. Praise him. But tell others about him. Tell your brothers and sisters who maybe are being weary or discouraged. Tell them that this is an amazing king. This glory, the glory of the cross, is enough for them. And that's why Jesus prayed about that. Think of that and let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus, your Son, dying on the cross, glorifying you, showing your beauty, which is that you are a majestic God who wants to reconcile this world with you. Thank you because you are so full of mercy that you sent your only Son, your only begotten Son, to die for us. Sorry when we forget about your glory, that this is the most important prayer that Jesus could have ever done. And it should be for us as well, as a church. We pray that we might live for this glory as well as Jesus lived. But we pray that this glory would fill our hearts with worship, with praise to your name, because you are great. Thank you, because when we look at the cross, we just don't see a cross with a man dying. We see the anchor of our life. And I pray that that would be for our brothers and sisters during this week, that we might remember this cross and that we might submit everything of our life to it, to Jesus and to you, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.